Hello, lovely listeners. On today's episode, we assemble to discuss the recent Avengers Roundtable. Plus, we log on to Night City Wire to hang with all the little cyber freaks as we talk Cyberpunk 2077. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
What's up? I'm Joey.
And I'm Rob, and as always, before we get to the good stuff, we will talk about what we have been playing.
Actually, this is the good stuff.
Say, it makes it sound like a bad
story. Yeah. Well, it's just like I lead in with the introduction, and it's just like, all right, well, hold on. So we got to take a little detour first.
It's the housekeeping. Podcast. Yes, it's the housekeeping stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and start, as always. So yes, big week. The Last of Us Part 2 is finally out, and greatest game ever. That is all. I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't played it and beat it. I'm just gonna go very, very brief, just very general here. But this is Naughty Dog's best game, in my opinion, that they ever made. One of the best video games ever crafted. Just the detail with the gameplay, with the graphics, with everything in the world. And I recommend everyone to play it as soon as possible. This is, to me, this is a generation-defining title. And I don't want to spoil anything, because anything I would say would probably spoil it. Just saying that The Last of Us 2 is one of the greatest games ever. Last of Us Part 2 is one of the greatest games ever created, as of now.
Mm-hmm.
Rob is definitely not okay with that.
I've only played 3.5 hours, but I'm okay with it so far. So
yeah, you see, okay with it so far. There you go.
It's early, but still.
Yeah, it's a very deep and engrossing like story. It's one of the best. One of the best. And we are going to do a spoiler cast on that. Mm-hmm. I just want to let everyone know, because there's a lot to unpack with The Last of Us Part 2. So that's
which
all.
I may or may not be joining, because I don't know if I really want to get it. I don't want to get it. But to be perfectly honest, if Ghost of Tsushima gets like terrible reviews, I might get it.
Do you think it will?
No, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a wild card. I'm not sure.
Honestly,
unless like something's like fundamentally broken with it, or it's like super short or very misleading, I don't think it'll get terrible reviews. But I don't know.
I mean,
we'll see what happens.
I mean, we're gonna be included in those reviews as well. Just in general, I see Ghost so far. I pretty much give the benefit of the doubt to Ghost, because The Last of Us Part 2 is very ballsy. For Sony to release the way it's released. So I see Ghost of Tsushima, if The Last of Us Part 2 is good, then I trust Sucker Punch with the Ghost of Tsushima. I give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, this The Last of Us Part 2 has definitely changed the game with Sony Studios.
I don't think Sucker Punch is necessarily on the same tier as Naughty Dog, per se.
No.
They're on the lower
they really
end
aren't.
Of that tier, if anything, if on that tier. Like, I mean, whereas, you know, Naughty Dog games get in, like, the mid-90s, like a Metacritic, I could see this hovering around, like, the low 80s or something, which is still awesome, don't get me wrong. But
yeah.
Naughty Dog is, like, they're in their own tier with any of those Sony studios, like, easily.
Yeah, and that's why it's, like, I've enjoyed Sucker Punch's stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I liked Infamous Second Son.
Me too.
I had issues with the Infamous, but I had a lot of fun playing with them. So yeah. I I trust Sucker Punch, but yeah, like Naughty Dog is like is its own thing compared to like everything else. So I don't think just by being a virtue of being a Sony studio, which technically I'm thinking Insomniac. Never mind. That Insomniac wasn't a Sony studio until like last year.
Recent, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's why I was like, But yeah, like, we'll see what happens. I'm just kind of unsure.
Oh no, I trust. I trust all the Sony studios so far, much more than any other studio, just because The Last of Us Part II is ballsy. And again, Sucker Punch, very good studio. We'll see how this works with the Ghost of Tsushima, but yeah. With The Last of Us Part 2, game of the generation so far for me. Game of the year so far. That's how much I root for it. I'm still thinking about it after finishing the game. It's just so good. Like, I don't even want to, you know, put more. I don't even want to just say more because I'll end up spoiling some stuff.
Yeah,
so wait, yes. Yes, we'll save everything for the spoiler cast. So I've been playing The Last of Us Part 2. Now, after I finished The Last of Us Part 2, I wanted something a little bit like lighter. So the Steam sales definitely didn't help with that. Because I definitely splurged a bit. I got like Sonic Generations. I got very light things. Very colorful, very bold. I wanted to play Vanquish on PC. So I got that. I also bought Concrete Genie. This is on PS4, by the way. So I bought Concrete Genie, and I wanted to play through. And I think that's going to be my next big title, like, to go, you know, towards. Just because, again, after The Last of Us Part 2, this thing is so intense that I need something light, and I need something colorful, and I need something breezy. So, and then Iron Man comes out next week, so that's even better. So, well, Iron Man is going to come out, yes, in the week this episode releases out to you guys. So yes. But yeah, I've been, after The Last of Us Part 2, just like, I've been playing some Heartspace Shipbreakers. That's actually a game that I am doing a preview on because it's in early access, and we actually got early access code from the developers, and I played a few hours so far, about an hour or two, and I didn't get it because it was like, I felt like it was too much things on the screen, like the UI. It's pretty much you're playing a space, I guess, recycler, if you want to say that. You're pretty much playing like an astronaut who's recycling stuff, and you're trying to deconstruct materials. And yeah, so far so good, because it's a very chill game. Again, I'm just playing very, very relaxing games after The Last of Us Part 2. So it's been very chill. I am doing a preview on that very soon, so definitely check it out on the website when that goes up. So that's actually all I've been playing. Again, Last of Us Part 2, greatest game ever, game of the generation. And that's enough for me. Joey, what have you been playing?
I've actually been playing a little bit of everything too. Last of Us 2, like I said, I'm about, I think, 3.5 hours in or so. Yeah. The only thing I'll say about that is Naughty Dog's really good at just blending everything together, like the soundtrack, the animations, the visuals. A lot of studios like nail one or two parts. I think that's why they're so good, is like they just nail every aspect of like creating a game. And I'm only 3.5 hours in, and I feel that way. So unless I totally disagree with a story point or something,
That doesn't change. No, it doesn't change. And that's the crazy part to me, is that it doesn't change and it gets better.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see it even evolving just from the first hour to like the third even. One thing, the only thing I'll add this into, if you guys remember all the uproar about when, what was it? Was it Shadow of War? That was the not the Lord of the Rings, but you guys know what I'm talking about, right? What is it?
Well, it is the Lord of the Rings.
What do you say?
It is the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. The tutorial to teach you how to kill someone is you sneak up behind your wife and like kiss her, you know? I don't know if you guys remember, but the tutorial to learn how to throw stuff and essentially shoot because the same button is to throw snowballs at kids, which is pretty funny because there was all that uproar about conflating, you know, romanticizing killing essentially because it's like the same button prompts. So I thought that was kind of interesting. If you played both those games, you'd definitely notice it. You guys have any idea what I'm talking about or no?
I mean,
just look it up. Look up like the I think it's the first like 30 minutes of Shadow of War, and you'll see like what I'm talking about. Just like the tutorial, it's like, oh, this is how you kill someone, but it's also how you know sneak up behind your wife and kiss her before she, you know, all those story beats happen. So I thought that was interesting. Just haven't heard anything about that from that. The game is definitely dark, like you were saying. There's no doubt. All the noises, especially with headsets on, is insane. All like the gurgling and cracking noises. It's just like there's so much depth in it. It's like pretty nasty.
And it gets better, Joey. Yeah. It gets better. That's a theme. The theme is that it just gets better.
What I've been enjoying a lot was just like hearing your, as you're running through the snow, hearing the snow compact. It sounds like so cool. Because like living in like a place where it used to snow a lot in Pennsylvania, just that noise, it's like kind of nostalgic almost, you know? And just hearing that, I'm like, man, that sounds like perfect. But anyway, on the exact opposite realm of The Last of Us, Kind Words. This is something I bought from the Steam sale. So it's, I think its title is like Kind Words, and then in parentheses, lo-fi beats to write to or something like that. So it's like so hard to explain. Essentially, like you have a certain amount of area to write a quote unquote request. So you can say, I don't know, say if you're dealing with something hard right now, like quarantine, you know, tips for making through quarantine, you know, if you're alone or something like that. And then that gets sent out, and then another user can look at requests and respond to them anonymously, like completely anonymously. And the whole thing is like, I mean, I haven't run into any trolls yet. I'm sure they exist, but like everybody is just like super kind in that game. So it's really neat. It's like if the internet wasn't an absolute trash pile, like that's what it would be.
So, Death Stranding.
What?
Technically. Yes. Yes. Because it's the same.
Words have literally nothing in common.
It's the same concept. It's the same concept as Death Stranding. Death Stranding, you can only like people. You can't dislike anything in Death Stranding. Anytime you put a ladder down or, you know, like a vehicle.
I get the idea, but I mean...
It's in the Strand genre.
No. I mean, you literally... Okay, so you write a message, it gets sent off, and then you receive one back sometime, right? And then, like, the current... Not really currency, but what you earn is, like, stickers. So, like, you get a sticker, and then you can put your sticker on a message that you responded from somebody else, and then they could get a new sticker based on what you have.
Yeah, but that happened in Death Stranding as well. So if you go ahead and compare both of them, Death Stranding, you like someone else's.
You need to stop drinking the water in Florida, I think.
No, it's not the water. It's just a comparison between Death Stranding and just a comparison in Death Stranding in terms of how you communicate and.
No, but I mean, the communication in... No, that's the thing in Kind Words. The communication is direct.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Things.
Like, yeah, okay.
Someone's like, oh, I just lost my dog, you have to put my dog down, you know, had him for 12 years or whatever. Someone can respond like, oh, you know, hopefully you're coping well. These are things I do to help cope, you know? So it's very, it is like, it's kind words, literally like what it says. And I read a lot about like a lot of people in their Discord are like, oh, I'd love to, like somebody gave me a great recommendation on like a comic book or whatever. Someone's like, I'd love to keep talking with this person. But like the power in the game is the anonymity of not knowing who it is and never talking to that person again, knowingly anyway, because your signature is just dash first character of your name. So you never know, you never talked to the same person. So it's very detached in that sense, which is cool. It's kind of like almost like asynchronous multiplayer. Like you don't, I think the best comparison is like any game where you hop in, people can hop in, you don't see usernames or anything, and you're just playing with somebody.
Yeah.
Like Journey. It's trans genre. You know, kind of something like that. No.
the elusive trans genre.
Journey, you know? You don't see a username, you don't speak to them, you know, you just play. So that's, I mean, I guess similar, but you're not cooperating anything. You're just like responding to people based on your experiences, which is cool.
Well, yeah, yeah. If it's definitely like Journey, then yeah, I definitely understand.
Because it's, I don't know, it's just, it feels good to help people. And it helps them too, you know what I mean? Like just being kind to someone, like kindness begets kindness. So it's kind of cool. And the music in there is absolutely killer too. If you like lo-fi music, if you don't, you'd hate it, but it's super, super cool. I think I've played that already for like, I don't know, like an hour and 10 minutes or something. I just like pop on at night and like answer a few people and send out my question and stuff. Like it's pretty neat.
Interesting. As you talk about it, I'm like on the Steam.
try to look up a gameplay. I mean, it's weird because it's not like a game in a way. It's not like you're going to go in and be like, all right, I played like 5 levels or I got this. Like, it's literally just it's like having an anonymous pen pal is probably the best way to do it. But you only talk to the same person once.
So look at that. You're getting me to do this live on the podcast. I'm like searching for it now.
Besides that, I guess we can just finish talking with this one. Just Final Fantasy VII. Finally hopped into the original version. Although it is modded with the 7th Heaven 2.0 mod manager, which I haven't modded many things or attempted, but like you literally download it and you click a button and then it adds it. It's like stupid easy. I've only had like one crash. Other than that, I've been playing it perfectly fine. And I think I sent you guys a screenshot and it looks insanely different. It's so good. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. And it's interesting because people who have played the original saw how that was changed in the remake, obviously, whereas I'm kind of in the reverse. So I'm like, man, I'm already this far in the game, you know? And I've only been playing like maybe 2 hours. Whereas in the remake, you're in those sections for a lot longer. So interesting.
Yeah, that's something that we said on the spoiler cast we were going to go back to. To the original. So I purchased it on the PC because I wanted the upgrades with
all the mods and stuff.
Yeah, with the mods and all the making it faster because we got a lot of games to play. it's just so much. Any
less either, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean I've played a handful of other things, but those were kind of the main things that are kind of worth really talking about, especially Kind Words just because it's so unique. Rob, take it away.
Well, I haven't really been playing too much. I've still kind of been like figuring out what to play since I finished Witcher. Because it's been like a lot of bouncing between games, installing games, uninstalling them after playing for like maybe 10 minutes. Just nothing really clicks. And then since there was a Steam sale, like the summer Steam sale,
say that
the summer Steam sale is going on right now. I decided to finally bite and buy Sekiro because I was kind of putting it off. Well, I was going to get it at some point because it was on my Steam wish list, but then I was going to get it at some point. But then I was like, well, Ghost of Tsushima is coming out and they're pretty close in like setting and genre and tone that it's kind of like, I don't know if I want to play them back to back. But I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll just get Sekiro and play it. And it hasn't been too bad for the most part. I've kind of have hit a wall at the moment, but it is considerably different in terms of gameplay than Dark Souls and Bloodborne, since you have to both be offensive and defensive. Because Dark Souls favored being more defensive, Bloodborne favored being more offensive, and then Sekiro is kind of like a little bit of both. So, I mean, let me see how many hours I have into it so far. But I'm like, I think I'm still towards the beginning. So I have like a long ways to go. Although I don't know how long the game is. For some reason, I thought it was like 30 hours.
Yeah, it's a little shorter than that. It all depends on skill level. I think I talked about Sekiro, when it first released here on the podcast a little while ago. But what I played of it, I enjoyed of it. I had way too many, you know, other games going on at the time. I always have way too many games going on at the other time. I always thought of it as a little Tenchu, you know, since it's from software, it definitely very reminiscent of Tenchu.
Well, it actually began life as a Tenchu game. That's why Activision was publishing it. It was supposed to be a Tenchu game, but then at some point, like, I can't remember if it was From or Activision said, you know, it's so different, we may as well just make it its own thing.
Yeah. It's definitely Tenchu-esque. It feels, when I mentioned it before, with Sekiro, I always feel like it has a soul of a PlayStation 1 game, where, you know, it's very, I guess the design, with the way enemies attack, you know, it's a little bit more offensive, a little bit more defensive. There's like items, you get like a certain amount of items. It's like a combination of a Souls game and a Tenchu game just in general. But I feel like Ghost is going to be closer to an actual Tenchu game. So,
by the way, how long to beat has it at? 28 hours for main story.
Yeah, it's
okay. That's about what you could,
you could get done with it real fast if you're good.
Not the way I'm going, because like I tried playing it. I started off pretty good, and then I did hit like two walls. One was a lot harder than the other one, and that's the one I'm currently stuck on right now. So I just got to figure out a good method to it. But it hasn't been too terribly difficult as I was expecting. I don't know how much further I have in the game. I mean, I'm still early on, so I don't have like a good gauge of how close I am to hitting those 28 hours or not. But yeah, I mean, Sekiro been pretty good so far. It looks nice and pretty. Running it at 1440, 60 frames on my computer. But as far as I know, I can't get it to a higher frame rate. I mean, I haven't really tried too hard, because I've just been playing it, and that's really the goal at the moment. So
yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I really haven't been playing much else. Just random stuff. Like I said, I can't get into anything at the moment. So, oh well. All right, that's enough about the what we've been playing. Let's get into, like I said before, the good stuff.
It was all good stuff.
but this is like the trailers before the movie starts. And now the movie's starting. This is the appetizer before the entree.
Everyone get your popcorn ready.
I could actually really go for popcorn right now.
Yeah. But anyway, what were we doing? Oh, yes. So, as you said before, Last of Us is pretty much like the big seller for, I guess, this month, even though it's only been out for like 2-3 days. And they've sold through 4 million copies physically and digitally.
Yes, that is correct. They,
which is a lot.
Yes, that's yes. a lot.
A ton.
A ton. Yes, for an exclusive first party game, yes. The Last of Us Part 2 is now the fastest selling Sony exclusive. Beating Spider-Man.
Yep. 3.1 million, we said, right?
Yes, it was 3.1 million.
So, I mean, it's not like it just like got 3.2 or 3.5. Like, it it beat it pretty easily.
And that's only 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days.
Which is insane. It's well-deserved, too. Well-deserved.
Maybe, I guess.
I think you're in the minority on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, clearly I am with it selling 4 million copies physically and digitally.
Yeah.
It is the game of our time. That's it. You know, that's all I'm saying. I'm not going into any more until the spoiler cast.
Yeah, I mean, Naughty Dog, they make solid games, like, no matter if they're particularly for a certain person or not. I haven't played a bad Naughty Dog game in who knows how long, if ever. So, I mean, there's that going
no,
for
No, never mind.
It. Everybody loved, you know, the first game. I mean, that played it and enjoyed that genre, loved it. All the controversy around it, too. I mean, I don't know if people understand that, like, keeping like continuing to push back on that controversy, like, you're just spotlighting the game even more. It's one of those like Streisand effect of things, but like in a positive way, I guess. So people just from the based on the leaks and all the incel stuff and whatever, thinking it was gonna fail are absolutely insane.
Yeah, no, there's no way it was gonna fail.
No, like all that did is put a bigger spotlight on the game. That already had a huge spotlight on, in a good way, you know? And then, like, that's everybody was talking about, positive or negative.
Well, yeah, but you also have to, like, factor in, too, that there's probably a good majority of those 4 million copies were people who don't participate in any online conversations mm-hmm. and, like, maybe heard some stuff, but...
Or didn't hear
anything. They don't care, yeah. Like, yeah. It's a Sony exclusive or, you know... It's a sequel to The Last of Us, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's by the studio that did Uncharted. Like, there's...
Yeah.
That's all they care about, and so yep. that's why it's sold.
And it always kind of goes back to, like, the vocal minority type thing, you know? Like, you always hear the negativity. It always bubbles up, so...
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. It sold a lot. Mm-hmm. A ton. I don't think is a good word for it.
I think it's officially considered a metric fuckton.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the scientific measurement for that one.
Yeah.
Scientific unit of measurement.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it's well deserved. And I guess this goes into our next topic, kind of.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I think it goes in pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, so the ex-president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment America, which was Sean Layden, he actually did an interview with GamesIndustry.biz, and one of the things that was stated by him was that he would welcome the return of a 12 to 15 hour AAA game. The reason why this correlates to The Last of Us, because The Last of Us is well over that mark, and I don't agree with him at all. I really don't. I feel like there is opportunities for games to have, you know, depending on the story that developers want to tell, that they shouldn't be the normal. Like, you know, a shorter game shouldn't be the normal. The game actually can go on for longer and it's meaningful and it's, you know, and there's, you know, there's some depth into that, then why not have a game that's 20 to 30 hours?
Final Fantasy Remake. Do that though, you know?
You know, every, well, a majority of Sony AAA titles are definitely in that range, over 12 to 15 hours. But they're all very meaningful in what they do. And again, ties into The Last of Us Part 2. The game has been crafted so perfectly for those whatever hours. It's definitely over 15. My playthrough ended at like around 28 hours. So I don't agree. Of a game, you know, the developer's intentions to tell a full-fledged story, why not do a 20-hour game? You know, why not go further? Why not, you know, get your vision out? I'm always for developers getting their vision across.
Well, see, the thing with that is, like, the way I feel is, we should get more AAA games that are 12 to 15 hours, but there shouldn't be a quote-unquote standard across the industry.
Like, a mandate.
Like, I mean, yeah, because right now we don't have that many games that are, like, you know, 12 to 15 hours, you know, a good, like, two afternoons or, like, you know, a few days playing it and then you're done and then you can move on. Mm-hmm. But, like, the experience was fun. It was just a good pace. And then, because, like, we have lots of games, like, right now, like, fucking Ubisoft has, like, 100-hour Assassin's Creed games where you can spend, like, months playing it. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, because it isn't. Like, fuck, I played, what, 70-something hours of Witcher 3? Yeah. And other people played 100 hours. And that's fantastic that there are games like that where you can get lost. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, it's nice to have games where the story is succinct. You know, you get in, you get out. Not everything has to be an open world. Not everything has to have, like, tons of waypoints. Like, you can make things linear, but, like, have that high production value. Not everything has to have, like, a games as a service, like, model.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's the whole thing about trying to keep getting more money from people. Mm-hmm. Like, again, Ubisoft, EA. I mean, look at what EA did with Star Wars, with Battlefront 1 and 2, with, like, their heavy microtransaction games as a service shit. And then what sold the best was Fallen Order. Yeah. And, you know, that, I don't think it was 12 to 15 hours. It may have been a little bit longer, but still, it was a single player experience with, there was still some monetization bullshit, but it wasn't as integral into the game.
Right.
And so I think that is a good thing if there was a kind of a, not like I said, return to a normalcy, but like if some developers and some publishers are like, all right, we're going to make this quick game, you know, because it's less money they have to spend too on that. Like if it's a 100-plus hour game, like there's assets and all the stuff that you have to do to it. And then you have to start factoring in like more ways to get your money back from that. And so it's just better to make a shorter, visually appealing, just great pace, fun to play, quick in and out kind of game. So I think 12 to 15 hours for a true AAA game, not like a B tier, even though I love B tier or C tier games, like a AAA game just that wows on presentation is a great idea.
So yeah, I think I agree with you there too. And I think, I mean, it's not AAA games per se, but like I think that's why I've been trending toward a lot of indie games, because like you play those and then you're done, you know? You don't have this like obligation feeling in the back of your head that you have to keep going back to something, which is a lot of these games kind of start to feel like that, especially as everything's going like games as a service model. And I think there's a certain point, not for everyone, because like The Witcher 3 had pretty solid side quests throughout. But a lot of studios, like the quality just dips so bad. Once you start hitting those higher marks of hours, because like there's just, whether it's the ability to tell interesting stories or just the not having the amount of people, so everything kind of feels like a template. It's, a lot of times it just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't think you should go and like, okay, this story's going to be 10 hours, and if it goes over, we're just going to start cutting stuff. Like, no, of course not. But I think the sweet spot is somewhere around that 12 to 15 range, for sure. Obviously, like you were saying, Jose, like, you finished The Last of Us 2, and, like, it was perfect to be roughly 30 hours, you know? Like, yeah, maybe so. But I think for a lot of studios, I think 12 to 15 would be, like, that ideal spot. Just to keep the quality up, to, you know, not have to let things linger on too much. Like, a lot of times I'll play a game, have no idea what's going on with the story because I haven't touched it for the past, like, 15 hours. And then going back to it, it's like, okay, what are we talking about again?
Yeah, and I agree with you on that point. You know, a game is long for no reason, just to be long.
Yeah.
For no reason. And I wish, and you speaking about the, you know, coming back to a game 15 hours deep and not knowing what's going on. And I've talked about this before. I don't know if it was on the podcast, but I talked about games having, I guess, like a recap when you start it back up. That would help for certain games. Again, that's a whole other thing. But you are right in terms of the quality dipping for certain games over time. I see that happening with the Assassin's Creeds, with those titles, yeah. Because there's a lot of, like, you know, fetch quests that you have to do. There's not a lot of meaningful stuff. But again, when a AAA studio at helm, Naughty Dog, for instance, CD Projekt Red with The Witcher 3, you know, when they have meaningful stories to tell, mm-hmm. I'd rather them go for it. Go get your 30, 40 hours on. Like, for me, the standard of it being, for developers thinking 12 to 15 hours for that, and I understand, like, you know, they could do it in terms of games being more linear to it, but if developers start thinking in that way and publishers start thinking in that way, we wouldn't have a lot of great stories, to be honest with you. I think every developer and publisher, they should be able to go ahead and craft, you know, however long of a story they need, especially with games, because they're so interactive. And again, there's stories to be told, more stories to be told through gameplay than the actual story to be told through, you know, the writing in that sense. So, well, a combination of both. Not to get distracted by the main point. So I just rather see, you know, I don't want to see a normalcy of it, of 12 to 15 hour game. That would be swell, because I don't like open world games too much. But, you know, The Last of Us Part 2 definitely changed my tune with storytelling in the games.
I mean, that's the exception, not the rule, though. I mean,
yeah. it is the exception, but I would like more. I would love more of that.
I'm sure a lot of studios would be love to be as good as Naughty Dog too. But
the storytelling as well. I would like more of that, because I really felt in tune. Like, I really felt like I was watching, like, a series. Like, I was, like, binging a series on that, and I was playing it. It was interactive, so, you know, more hours for that, the better. That's how I see it.
And speaking of more hours, let's jump into the Avengers war table. I said round table before. It was war table, I guess.
Yes, war table.
Gotta sound invitation. Tough.
I guess so. I was just thinking, I was like, oh yeah, it's like an office meeting, whatever.
An office meeting, yeah.
Yeah, the Avengers office meeting that they had.
you would think that there'd have to be an office meeting, just like a normal, regular-ass meeting, like on a Friday morning, just discussing what needs to be done. And it's very civil. There'll be like a whiteboard. Clearly, some people will be paying more attention than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would more than likely be run by Bruce. Anyway, whatever. So, yeah. Avengers War Table presentation. So this is the Avengers game that we've been waiting for too long at this point. And I'm going to start it off. I was horribly unimpressed. I've been pretty unimpressed with everything shown since the beginning. And I watched the gameplay and it's like, yeah, that's gameplay. It doesn't look bad. It just doesn't look like, holy shit, this is awesome. Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
I mean, for me, it was better than the previous showing, which was absolutely awful.
Oh, yeah, no, that first impression was horrible.
I was like, that'll be in, like, the manual of, like, how to tank your game, like, from the first showing, right there. I've watched it probably, like, two-ish times through, and I like the ideas behind it. Just the execution, especially, like, in the animation realm, just doesn't seem like it's there for me. Like, they just seem kind of like kind of bland characters. And like when you're talking about the Avengers, like that's the last thing you'd kind of think of, really. Even though we've all seen things about the Avengers for how long, and it using the exact same characters could be a little bit, kind of that repetitive feeling, even though we haven't necessarily had games about them. They're not really inspiring choices, but outside of Kamala, but it just, there's something missing in the way they're animated. Like the impact just like isn't there, because the idea of like, it takes some things from like a Destiny, like, and a few other games, and like, it has some cool ideas and it'll be fun to play with friends for sure, but it just doesn't seem to have like that interesting depth to like keep you wanting to play it, if that makes sense to me anyway.
Yeah, I think the first strike when we first saw the Avengers game shown to us, the first strike was the actual just style and presentation, because the actual character models looked like B-rated, you know, Avengers cast, the Avengers casting. So I think that's the first strike. It just looked very bland and not stylized enough, I guess.
Yeah,
wasn't presented well, and even you know, looking at this whole war table presentation, because this was our first look into menus and, you know, how it ran, like in a particular way with co-op. Speaking of as ran. Well, yeah, it's you know, it's kind of disappointing, because it's like you have a game like Ultimate Alliance 3, which has awesome presentation.
Yeah, I would mostly agree with that. The presentation's pretty good.
Yeah, so it has awesome presentation. It has like a comic book style to it. But you know, looking at this game again, like a B-rated casting of the Avengers, you're like, this looks pretty poor. Like, I want my like Robert Downey Jr. at least, or like, you just want better presentation. It's like Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. Looking.
Well, I wouldn't say it's that bad, but it's definitely like, I guess the problem is it's not different enough from the movies.
Yeah.
It's too close to how it's generally presented in the MCU. So you're going to have those parallels. Mm-hmm. People are like, well, they don't look like, because like watching the Thor footage, he kind of sounds and like looks like Chris Hemsworth,
yeah, but not,
and it's very kind of off-putting, because it's close enough, but it's like a weird uncanny valley where it's close enough but not,
which is funny. Like, speaking of like the voice specifically, because Jose, you might be able to talk about this too, I didn't feel that way when playing the Iron Man VR demo, like his voice, like it just didn't have the same feeling for whatever reason. And I think because the way, like the art style is, just because it's on VR, like it can't be as closely replicating an Avengers style. So like, there's not that one-to-one comparison.
I definitely see where you're getting at with that. And again, with Iron Man VR, it's different presentation, and right. like you mentioned, it's not close to Robert Downey's Avengers acting. So it's very weird to emphasize exactly what it is. I think Rob is the closest.
Yeah.
In saying that it's kind of close, but it's not it. It doesn't hit the bullseye there. But yeah, I definitely agree with you that Iron Man VR definitely feels better, or there's something to it that's missing from Marvel's The Avengers.
I think what they just need to do is they just need a more unique art style, and that'll make it world of a difference. And like when Thor was like swinging his hammer around, like I think you and I talked about this, Jose, the first thing I thought of was how amazing God of War was throwing his the axe around. Like it sounded good, it felt good, whereas like a lot of that just seemed like it was missing in like the footage. Like that should be like some jaw-dropping stuff when he's like throwing Mjolnir, right, around.
Yeah
Mjolnir.
Like that should be amazing. Like the contact when it hits back into his hand, like the sounds, it should be like this like inspiring thing, and it just like isn't for whatever reason. Like maybe that'll maybe it's like a little bit older of a build, so maybe that stuff will be added in, but like it just didn't, you don't feel the impact when you're playing it, which is kind of insane considering like how easy it should be to make that impact based on the characters you're using, but it's just not there for me. One thing that I thought was pretty cool was the amount of costumes that are going to be in the game from all over the place in, you know, Marvel Comics history. What was your guys' thoughts on some of those being locked to like a store? Because they specifically did say like you will have to spend money for certain costumes.
Well, I mean, essentially like costumes are just fluff. So I don't mind spending some money for costumes. I just hope it's not Fortnite-y where it's like, okay, this costume's only going to be available for 2 weeks or like a week, and then it's gone forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you have to get a battle pass to get like all of it. It's like, I'm
so tired of
battle. Don't need any of that. Like, I just, like, if I see a costume, I want to buy it. Like, even if I don't buy it right away, I would like to buy it at some point.
Yeah, it was nice that they said there aren't loot boxes, because I'm so tired of loot boxes.
Yeah, but, like, that doesn't... Just because they said no loot boxes doesn't quite, like...
There's still some wiggle
room. And still, like, this sense of confidence.
Yeah.
That they're not going to be like, hey, there's no loot boxes, but, hey, fuck you guys. We're going to fuck you in other ways that you haven't thought of yet.
And just with the whole locking costumes to like the actual store, I agree with Rob since it's just like fluff. Like I'm all for it. Like I'm all for buying like costumes, and I know there's going to be like a lot already included because they did mention that you're going to be able to, you know, lock some in the story mode.
Yeah.
My one concern with this is that if this is, again, if this is just not fluff and it's actually like power inducing costumes, then we have a problem. Because, you know, they can mention this all they want right now, but then, you know, sooner or later, you're going to start seeing like, what do you call it? Like old Captain America, like Winter Soldier, what do you call it? Costume. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have like, plus 13 strength or something that's like really important, and then they make missions based around, you know, stats.
Strength.
That's gonna be stuff, yeah. That's gonna be a problem.
Well, because when they did show like the UI, like the menus for like the equipment and stuff, and I mean there is it's very Destiny like it has stats and stuff. So I do wonder how, like, if the costume would just simply overlay on what you had, or if it would just be you know, there's a way to get it to your level or whatever. That is actually a really good point. That I don't know if they really mentioned that much on it, but hopefully it just like whatever you have, it just like kind of overlays on top of that in a way, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for as well. I'm hoping that it's not like again, another example is Injustice 2. With all the gear, I'm hoping it's not like with the costumes that you do get, you have to buy, you know, each piece one by one. And again, it's all stat based. So
yeah,
that's what I'm hoping doesn't happen.
Yeah. One thing that is pretty cool, like we have here, DLC is entirely free, including characters and new missions. I'm curious how many characters they are going to add. I mean, because they could add so many. But I'm curious how many they actually will add.
I think that's another thing that kind of adds to the, I guess, disinterest I have with the game. It's a very, very safe selection of Avengers.
Yeah.
It's stuff we've seen, like, for, at this point, for, like, what?
10 years?
10 years.
A while.
Yeah. I don't remember when Iron Man 1 came out. But basically, like, it's pretty much been the same core Avengers for forever now.
Yeah.
And the Avengers, like, in the comics has had, like, such a wide variety of heroes and, like, and just there's so many people that they can pull off of. And, like, I know you gotta have your, like, main five. But fuck, dude, just throw in Beast, throw in Storm, throw in, I don't want to say Wolverine. Hawkeye, but like, I mean, throw in Rogue, throw in, like, there's so many other, like, Avengers. I mean, okay, you don't have to throw in Spider-Man because whatever reason, but,
yeah.
I mean, still, like, they can do other characters instead of just, like, keeping it to the very, very safe core.
Yeah.
Again, like, you know, Kamala Khan is there and that's great, but I would like to see a few more like kind of show up. And I think that's what they're kind of going to try to do with the DLC characters, but like it should have happened before. It should have had at least like a few more that they showed off.
I was hoping they at least had like a roadmap of like the first couple that are coming, you know? I mean, they didn't even have to say when.
Yeah.
Just an idea would be cool.
Yeah, they should, because like I don't know. I kind of have a feeling in the back of my head that they're still gonna have some more characters that are playable in the base game, and they're just showing off specific ones right now.
I mean, who do you? So maybe let's go over who is there and who we think is also gonna be there.
So we've seen obviously Black Widow, Thor, Iron Man, Hulk,
Captain America,
Kamala Khan. Ant-Man, I think, was in there?
Well, Ant-Man was teased.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, wasn't he in, like, a cutscene or something?
Yeah. So when the game was first shown, he was in a little cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, you know, everyone figured it out.
And, like, don't you use, like, Pym particles or whatever to shrink certain enemies and stuff?
Yes, you do.
Somewhere through there, yeah, so. Possible?
Yeah, so like that makes sense. Captain Marvel's, I feel like she has to be in it since Kamala is in there, and she like I think they showed off her room, and she had like a Captain Marvel poster.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes sense that she would be in there.
Right.
Again, so far pretty safe MCU picks. You know what? Fuck it. Let me look up an Avengers roster.
<Do it.
laughs> All live here.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think Scarlet Witch would be unsafe, cool. You know, character.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch and Vision, obviously. I mean, because you have, especially with Scarlet, with Wanda and Vision, like, you have a lot more stuff that you can do with them. But then again, like, it'll probably be very simple stuff like, oh, energy blasts and
sure.
And stuff like that. Oh God, I saw a picture of a cover art by George Perez. And I was like, oh my God. some of these would be good. Okay, so let's see. What would be fun? Hercules? You could have another, like, Thor, Hulk-type character there. Black Knight would be different. He has a sword. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Beast before. Moondragon, eh. Miss Marvel, like I said, yeah. Falcon. How can you not have Falcon? She-Hulk would be fun. Wonder Man would be good.
Moon Knight. Moon Knight.
Yeah, Moon Knight would be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you have War Machine, Thing, Mockingbird. I guess you can have U.S. Agent, but eh.
Yeah, there's a lot of Avengers. Ultron, you could even have. There's a lot of things they could do.
Yeah, well, even with Ultron, like, it feels like, okay, they've already done Ultron. I mean, I would like to see them do Claw, even though he was in, like, Age of Ultron and Black Panther. He was kind of killed off kind of early and unceremoniously in Black Panther. So I would like to see him get his, like, living sound body. I mean, obviously, Spider-Man. Rage would be kind of cool, because you never really hear about Rage. Mm-hmm. Spider-Woman. Crystal. Justice. Jack of Hearts. Captain Britain. Yeah, like, there's, like, a fuck ton. Iron Fist. Well, no.
Yeah. They're all technically Avengers. Luke Cage.
No, they are. Yeah, Avengers. But I'm just trying to think of ones that aren't really seen too much. But yeah, fuck. Havoc was in it. She-Hulk. Sunfire. I mean, and you can even do some of, like, the Avengers offshoots, kind of. Like, New Warriors. I was going to say Young Justice. Let's say Young Justice. I mean, I guess the Champions, but not the Champions. What was, what was the team name? Young Avengers.
Young Avengers and West Coast Avengers, so, yes.
But yeah, like, there's so many other characters that they can have in there. And I feel like I'm kind of spoiled with, like, the Lego Marvel games that have, like, 70, 80 characters.
And also Ultimate Alliance 3.
Yeah,
there are a lot of characters in there, huh?
Yeah,
yeah, and obviously you have your main picks, but there are still some I want to see some, like, random ass character. I want to see fucking Howard the Duck
or
something
Tigra.
Random, something fun. That's the thing,
Tigra. Like, that's another
exactly. Kind
of, yeah, like just weird oddball characters.
Yeah,
and you know, and like to even add on to that, it's like, you know, it really depends on how the game does, because DLC, like we were mentioning, is going to be entirely free. This is characters and new missions. Mm-hmm. And how they're doing the DLC is that the characters are gonna bring in those missions.
Yeah.
And pretty much they're adding on to, like, the story. So this is, to be honest, this is gonna be a case where if this game doesn't do well, we're not going to see those DLC characters for free or new missions. It's just going to, like, stop being supported. So, yep. Yeah, so it's kind of bittersweet in that sense, because it's like, okay, so we have these basic Avengers that we all know and love. And I call them basic just because they're always there.
They're standards.
Yeah, they're standards. Like
the
yes.
vanillas.
Yeah, the vanillas, yes.
Of the Avengers.
Yes, we have those guys. But then, if this game doesn't do well, we don't see the other, you know, like the crazy ones that we want to see. So it's kind of like bittersweet in that sense. So I'm kind of, again, I'm kind of interested to see how it does. I'm interested to play it to see if this is one of those cases where the game might be better just playing it instead of viewing it. I know one of you guys mentioned that, and I think it could definitely be one of those things. It might be better just playing it multiplayer with friends and just wrecking havoc with the Avengers and doing missions. But what we've seen so far, like, it doesn't look that way, but it might feel different. So that's a wait and see on that one, for sure.
Yeah, and luckily it's coming out in like 3 months, 2 to 3 months. So
yeah, so it's coming out September 4th.
Yeah, so like, I'll probably get it. You know,
I'm definitely getting it,
unless something like big comes out in September, which, I mean, outside of like maybe like the NVIDIA 30 series, but I don't think there's anything good. Maybe a Nintendo game might push it out of September for me. Maybe a Nintendo game. Because they still haven't really announced what they're releasing for the rest of the year, so...
If, like, the Super Mario Galaxy games come out, yeah, it'll definitely push it for me.
Yeah, I'd have to... I don't know what I would completely kick it out.
Those would do it for me.
Maybe if it was Super Mario 3D World, but... yeah, so we'll see. I mean, like I said, it's... For a game that I'm, like, very lukewarm on, I'm still probably going to get it, so... I'm actually looking up to see what if they have a deluxe edition on Steam. And they do. And it's mostly shit. You get to play, you get a 72-hour early access to the game.
That's like a trend that's going on around.
Yeah, it's mostly a Microsoft thing. Like, I think some other people
EA
did it.
EA does that a lot, too. They always do that with their sports games. Always.
But then they have like a white, black, and gold costumes and some nameplates, and that's it. Hmm. That's super disappointing for a deluxe edition. Yeah. I say that and watch, I get the deluxe edition.
That's usually how it goes.
Yep.
No. Well, hold on. How much more is it? If it's $10, it's not too bad. It's
$20. Usually what, it's like 80?
Yeah, that's 80.
Yeah.
No, it is $20. Yeah.
It's like standard.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. We still got some months. So a few months away. But, okay. And let's go ahead and jump into the next. I will say, like, this post E3 world, I kind of enjoy, like, the full, you know, 30-minute, almost, like, focus on a game. Focusing on one game type of thing. A lot of people have been doing this year. Instead of just kind of like, here's a bunch of shit that we show off in this presentation, and then small bits of info kind of leak out from like different sources and stuff like that. So I like this focused, like, boom, here's the info. Bye. Type of thing.
Well, here's the thing, because... you know, when we used to go to E3, we used to go to those private events when we're at E3. You know, when we're there. So those videos are kind of like those private events that are shown to us. So I agree with Rob. I definitely like more in-depth videos of the game. You know, we're not able to get to play them firsthand, like we usually are, like those private events when we go to E3. This is actually the same exact sort of a footage, but, you know, we would actually be playing it. But this is very, like, lovely compared to just short, you know, hype trailers, in that sense. I like seeing more of a game.
I think what they just need to do is actually give us information of when. I mean, we didn't know when this Night City stuff was going to come out till literally the day before. Well, I mean, yes. We knew the day, but not like actual time.
And we are talking about Cyberpunk.
Which is insane.
2077. Yes.
But, yeah. So,
yeah, like, maybe I would have preferred it a little bit more, like, compressed in terms of, you know, in the month of June, and maybe a little bit in the end of May and the beginning of July. Yeah. But it feels like it's spread out even more. Like, even Square Enix is like, they told their shareholders, like, yeah, we'll have stuff in July and August. Don't worry about it. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Microsoft's like, July. And it's like, when?
And then apparently, July. And apparently it's not even going to be until, like, maybe the end of July.
I don't know why people thought July 1st, but that's an entirely another conversation.
Yeah, it's not going to be July 1st. It would have been early July. But still. Like, they have a system they're releasing this year. They need fucking info. Even Sony. Anyway, I digress. Let's, Cyberpunk. Yes. So Cyberpunk 2077.
finally,
which is
going to be out.
Yes, supposedly. Something. Yes, something. Even though they've shown bits and pieces here and there, but this feels like a lot more of how the game is actually going to play, and kind of more or less what to expect. Even though they said that that trailer they showed off in the beginning was only the prologue of the game. Yeah. So it's kind of like the White Orchard type part of Witcher 3.
Witcher 3. Mm-hmm.
But like, it felt like there's like tons of stuff that we're setting up.
Times 10?
Yeah. Yes. It's very dense in terms of story and like stuff that's going on. I just hope that it's not... I know, it feels like I'm just being hypocritical saying this, but like, I hope it's not too linear. But then again, it is a prologue, so they're probably just kind of pushing you along until like the rest of everything else opens up. So
I mean, kind of similar how Witcher 3, how like it's not linear, but it definitely pushes you toward the opening areas, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like a little, I guess, a sandbox to kind of get used to everything, and then everything else opens up. But okay, so they showed off the trailer called The Gig, I think, and it looked good. Like I said, it was very much a short kind of glimpse into what's happening. It ended with Johnny Silverhand, who is played by Keanu Reeves.
I'm pretty sure he has a clause in his contract that he has to be in every trailer. But go on.
Well, I don't think so. I think CD Projekt Red knows that like, they have fucking Keanu Reeves. I mean, like they're gonna milk that
in the game too. Is what I was reading from like a dev interview. So
he was what?
He's the second biggest character in the game outside of the main character.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I think he's technically dead in the game.
Right. Someone's using his chip or whatever. In yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. They showed off, what was it called? Not Brain Drain.
Brain Dance.
Brain Dance, that's it. Where you can kind of recreate
A memory?
A memory.
Yes, a memory of someone else's memory. And they kind of explain the lore of it as well, how it's, it started off, I think they said it as adult video stuff, and then it kind of, no, it was started off as therapy and stuff like that, and then became like kind of a big industry after that. And when they showed it off, I was kind of hoping that it would be a way to do other small little kind of stories with other characters, but it seemed like it was more forensic-y type of stuff where you can like only interact with certain stuff in this like short period. And it sounds cool, I guess, maybe. I just don't hope it... They made it seem like it was a big part of the game, and I'm kind of iffy on that.
I mean, that part almost reminded me of, like, Detroit Become Human. I mean, totally different games, obviously, but, like, the forensic side of kind of things. But I think... And what kind of seemed like a problem for me for a lot of the reveal is, like, you're showing all this stuff in the prologue, so, like... I'm sure they get far more interesting as you go further on. I mean, this was really straightforward, you know, because it's probably the first time you're using it, so it works as kind of a tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the issue of, like, I think I remember them saying, like, they don't want to show too much. I'm like, but you want to show something that's enticing, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
That was interesting, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, like... We didn't talk to each other like, did you guys see that? Like, that was insane, you know? Like,
exactly. And my mind was not blown. And that's my whole problem with, you know, what they showed. I was like anticipating to be wowed by it and speak very highly of it, to be honest with you. I just wasn't wowed by it. Like, the Brain Dance, stuff, like that was, again, you compared it to Detroit. And it definitely was that. It's just showing me the same stuff. And also, Remember Me. I don't know if you remember that game.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That game had that same sort of a mechanic. And for them to show this off, and I know, and again, this may as well could be a prologue into it, but like you mentioned, everything that they showed was not enticing. It felt very regular to me. It felt like very, I've seen this, I've done that. And also, the thing that bothers me, because the game, CD Projekt is so good with visuals that I feel that it only looks okay, and that's just based on the video that they showed. It wasn't wow to me, like, and my whole thing is like, I'm going back to The Last of Us Part 2 on this, is that everything in The Last of Us Part 2 is crafted very, very well, into detail. And when looking at this, I know this still hasn't come out, but they have been working on this for a very long time. And for it not to wow me like now, and on top of that, the stuff that we do see on there that does look good is running on very high-end computers. Very, very high-end computers. And very high-end specs.
I don't know if I would consider a 2080 Ti a high-end computer. 2080 Ti at 1080p a high-end computer.
Well, no, not high-end. I mean more like a high-end, just high-end specs in general compared to the PS4 and the Xbox One.
I think those are old, though, now.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like this game is being held back by the two console versions.
See, like, yeah. I think just like the comparison The Last of Us just isn't fair. They're like entirely different games doing very, very different things. That's like when everybody compares, like, oh, well, like Red Dead looks worse than, you know, The Last of Us. And I was like, well, I mean, very different games. And I think Red Dead looks amazing, especially for what it does. So, like, I don't know if I agree on that point. And I think a lot of it has to do kind of similar to Naughty Dog. Like, I trust in what CD Projekt's going to put out because I've liked all the games they put out.
I don't trust them technically, though. Not with them delaying this title about like 3 or 4 times already.
Well, I mean, if anything, CD Projekt Red is fantastic when it comes to, well, again, my experience is really only with Witcher 3, but that game was fantastic when it came to characters, like character motivations. Story was all right. It had some okay moments, but the characters were kind of made it shine. Right. And it seems like with Cyberpunk, obviously there's going to be an overarching story, but I'm hoping there's lots of focus on like individual characters and like their arcs and their stories. Visually, like, it's pretty much kind of what I want in terms of a cyberpunk type of game. Like, you know, fucking bright ass neon, dirty, gringy, slimy streets, just like, and they're hitting those like marks perfectly so far. Plus, I think I think I've said this before too. It's like with ray tracing, a lot of that stuff was kind of baked in already, but since it's actually going to be done real time with the GPU, it's going to be like this weird, it doesn't feel like it's moving or progressing in terms of visuals. But that's kind of going to lead it into more stuff down the line. I agree, I would have liked to see some more console footage, but it still does feel like we're a little ways away from any of that.
I don't think we're ever seeing console footage.
Well, they have to show console footage if they're going to release it on the console.
Yeah, and it's supposed to come out in November. So yeah. I'm a little bit worried. Yeah, I'm a little bit worried on that. And another thing to me, again, it didn't wow me as much as I thought it would. I didn't see enough footage of like the streets being crowded. That's something that they did not show. And I think that would have added a wow factor in it to me. Of, you know, the streets are crowded and all the pedestrians are detailed and you can just walk up to them. And, you know, if they showed that sort of gameplay, I would be like, wow, everything looks so dense and so colorful and vibrant.
I, I mostly agree in the sense of, like, it would have been nice to see some, I guess, of the city at rest, as it were, where, like, you're just kind of, like, walking through, mm-hmm. and, like, you see people doing their own shit, and, or, like, you know, you go to a crowded street, or, like, a marketplace, or, like, a club, and you kind of see people there. So, yeah, like, I kind of agree, like, it'd be nice to see, like, that city at rest, but it kind of feels like they had to, because they really haven't shown much in terms of gameplay. It showed a little bit here and there, but yeah. This felt like it was more of a vertical slice of what to expect. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would like to see more of the city, and like it for me, like I want some place to kind of explore. Yeah. And that's kind of what it's kind of what it looks like Cyberpunk's doing, and that's kind of what I liked about Deus Ex, the newer ones. Where, like, you had these, like, kind of small areas that you can, like, depending on how you upgraded Adam Jensen. Jensen?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you can do different things. Like, you know, if you got your lock picking up, you can go one way and, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, I hope there's lots of that. But, yeah. I mean, it's, like I said, Cyberpunk is, like, that setting and that genre that just, like, 100% does it for me. 100%. So yeah, what else did they announce? They announced before that if you get the Xbox One version of it, you get the Series X version mm-hmm. if you buy it digitally. Same, and they announced that the PS4 version, if you buy that digitally, you get the PS5 version, which is great.
Yeah, which both seem like quite a ways off yet.
Yes, and they also said that even though the games will be playable on day one with those systems release, they did say that there's going to be, I guess, next-gen upgrades to the PS5 and Xbox Series X versions to make them more next-gen-y.
Yeah.
Which, optimized. From what I'm thinking, it's probably just going to bring them more in line to the way the PC version is going to look.
Or
probably with ray tracing and stuff like that.
Or just to have them run.
No, I mean, yeah. I think it's gonna be fine. I think they're gonna run fine, the PS4 and Xbox One yeah. X. Not the, so much the original ones, but I think they'll run fine.
You know, things like that.
But. Yeah, there'll be some load times, things like that. There'll probably be less load times at the launch of the next gen version, mm-hmm. and then with that patch, it'll probably be better ray tracing, mm-hmm. maybe better resolution, better frame rate, things like that. So, yeah. We'll see. They kind of made it seem like they don't really know what's in it. I think they're just trying to finish the game, and then we'll go from there. And
it's gonna get this delayed next. Again. I'm sorry.
Huh?
It's just gonna get delayed. I'm just like thinking of like a future this year where this game is gonna come out. I just don't see it.
I thought they said it was done. Did they not?
No, I think they're still working on some stuff.
I thought they said it was done. Like, done.
Unless something else is happening.
Until it goes gold, it's not done.
Yeah, that's true. I will say this. If the game does not come out in November, or they delay it from here to then, I will buy The Last of Us 2. I will play The Last of Us 2. If the game gets I will preface the saying
now. That's it.
I will preface the saying if it gets delayed within November, that's fine. But if it gets pushed out of November. Yes. Then I will you know what? Fuck it. I will play Last of Us 1 and 2.
Oh, look at that.
I will buy the remastered Last of Us 1 and 2 if it gets delayed. Past November. Even if it's like to December 1st, I will do that.
Oh, get ready to buy
I don't think that I don't think they'll delay it that much more. It feels like November is like the right time. Now they might push it out so that and it's kind of not great so that they can have it out, but I just don't see it being delayed past November. So yeah. But anyway, and the other thing that they announced at the Night City Wire was something that probably excited me more than anything else, aside from the game. Obviously, pretty exciting. They announced an anime, which is like, okay, It's fine. What was it? Cyberpunk 2077 Netrunners, I think. But what has me most excited about the fucking thing is it's being produced by Trigger. And Trigger is currently my favorite anime studio currently. Because they have done some bonkers ass shit that I live for. 100%. Like, this is just... this is for me. Like, this sounds very, like, narcissistic and shit, but, like, this feels like it was done for me. Because it hits exactly what I want. Cyberpunk, Trigger, anime, yes. The only thing is, like, the 2022 release date.
That's rough.
It's like, oh, god damn it, fuckers.
Or it might get delayed.
How are you going to cock tease me for 2 years?
Might be 2024, who knows?
I don't know about that, but who knows? I feel like the anime part will be done a little bit better. But first off, it's great to see them like kind of embracing this as a franchise from the get-go. Unlike, I mean, it took them like 3 games for The Witcher to have like a TV series on Netflix too. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they're going to Netflix again.
Kind of came out a different time too, you know, like the previous games.
Yeah, well, because like, and the first one is pretty goddamn rough. First Witcher is pretty goddamn likely. Rough.
Which has an awesome story, though, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, they definitely started picking stuff up as it went on. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to kind of see that they're embracing this multimedia facet of it.
Yeah, adding on to that, not released or not talked about on the Night City Wire, but just like The Witcher had comics, the Cyberpunk's having a comic come out too.
Hmm.
First issue comes out in August. Just looking through the previews of this month, and it's on the cover. So,
well, then I'll have to buy the Cyberpunk, even though I don't only buy video game comics.
Yeah, so they're hitting like every medium.
yeah so that's probably the best thing. But yes, so Studio Trigger, like I said, has done fantastic work. So if you don't know them, they were kind of built from the remnants of Gainax and the people who did an anime movie called Dead Leaves, and then so I think the first project they did was a lot of those people were on Gurren Lagann, and a lot of those people left Gurren Lagann and went and created Studio Trigger, which did, the first project was Kill la Kill, which story-wise is a little bit, but visually it's fucking amazing. And then most recently, they did Promare, which was a fantastic fucking movie, visually just amazing, fantastic, just like, dumb references that only certain people will kind of get. And I don't expect that in 2077, the anime. I think it'll be more focused on the actual franchise, but like, it feels like it is 100% in good hands. Like, this is something that I'm excited for, and I can't wait. And hopefully those 2 years will go by very quickly.
You mean 4 years?
Hey,
what did you say? What was it called? Promare?
Promare, yes.
Promare.
I showed y'all the trailer. The trailer, like, after watching the movie, is like, it doesn't really capture. Yeah. Like, I'd say Rent It or something. But it was, like, really good. It's bright. It's colorful. The story's pretty okay. It knows when to do the balls to the wall stupid anime fight sequences and stuff like that, and it's just, for me, like I said, it feels like it was made for me, so it was fantastic. So many things that like I enjoyed. But yeah, that's that is like the, and this is the first episode of Night City Wire, so like I like that they're starting to have regular developer diaries. Is it called is it considered developer diary? Kind of,
not events. Really, because this one was like a straight they showed a little bit of gameplay, and then all the other journalists that actually played the game talked about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was like kind of more like after the fact, like the the plain 30 minute thing was like they talked to two developers really on the game, and then that was pretty much it. But yeah, like it's cool, like the game's getting like this
kind of cadence of info coming out.
Yeah, a little bit more regularly than like some other games were just like, here's some stuff, all right. And then they'll have some very boring, dry talks with the devs. It's like, okay,
yeah,
cool. So
yeah, I'm excited for it. Strictly, I mean, I love CD Projekt Red games, so there's no reason I shouldn't like this. But I'm interested. The one thing that was quite apparent, even from watching that gameplay, like it's an RPG. It's less gunplay as it is RPG, which is right up my alley. But I think going in, a lot of people assume there'd be more FPS than it would be actual RPG. But
it should have been a third person, like it originally.
I mean, I thought,
you know, started.
Yeah, I'm saying when they talked about it, I don't really mind that too much because I think first person games do a really good job of not interactivity, but like making
immersion.
You feel a part of, yeah, immersion, like feel a part of the story. So I don't really mind that too much, but it was nice to see it's more RPG than, you know, FPS style.
Hey, I would have liked third person if only because like they did say that your character will display your upgrades.
Oh yeah.
And so like it's kind of like what I love about like some RPGs where if you get like new gear, you can actually see it on your character.
Yeah, true.
But then again, you have stuff like Destiny where like 75% of the time, like you don't see it
at all.
Yeah, unless you're in the tower or unless you're in a menu. So I kind of hope like you can at least see it in the menu. Because, I mean, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but especially if there's like customization, like it would be nice to have that shown somewhere and like regularly, kind of.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I guess I think that's everything for today.
Yep.
So I guess it's time to close the floodgates. It's about that time. There's a lot of game spilling through, so it's about that time to close the floodgates. So, yeah, guys, definitely check us out on dualpixels.com just for your latest news, reviews, and updates, and previews. And also, we actually just got enrolled into iHeartRadio, so you are now able to listen to Dual Pixels Radio on iHeartRadio. So we're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Music, Stitcher, every podcast platform available, Dual Pixels Radio is on. So definitely check us out there and subscribe. Also make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Catch you on the flip side.